It's Tuesday, 21st of July, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the last week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are... Rhodes.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
And Velt.
You alright?
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, including some Bugsnax stuff. But first, we'll talk about what games we've been playing this past week. Take us away, Rhodes.
Oh, I'm like awful for this. I've only played one game properly, and it's Ghost of Tsushima. And I just no other game exists now. That's it. I'm just
that's a new game that you can talk at length about. Why would you be bad at this?
Yeah, but I feel like we're in spoiler territory, aren't we? Like I can't like say too much. Although I will. Well, I don't
know anything about this game. It's a third person samurai.
What? It's got samurais in it. Oh man.
God, spoilers. It's just unbelievable. Like I wasn't sold on it when it came. Well, when it was coming out, like I just sort of buy all the big games because you know, I'm a gamer. That's what I do. And like I booted it up, and I was just like, "This is the fucking greatest game I've ever played in my life." Like, it's just. I think I've played about 20 hours of it so far. Bearing in mind, I work Sundays to Thursdays, so even though I've had 3 full days of work, I've still put 20 hours into it, and I'm on Act 2. I'm only on Act 2. Like, it's...
Of 3.
I don't know. Maybe there's 3, I don't know. I'm not checked. Like, I don't want to... It's... I can't gush about it enough. Like, I don't know, like... I've got no words for it. It's so... When the reviews came out, I was, like, mocking all of the reviewers because they kept saying, oh, it's like this, and it's like that, and it's like this, and it's like that. I was like, this is fucking stupid. How can it be, like, so many games? And then I played it, and I'm just sat there in my living room going, oh my god, it's like this, and like that, and like this.
Is it a masterpiece?
I'm not going to say it's a masterpiece when I finish it. But what I will say is that I don't understand how something like The Last of Us 2 can have a 97 million infinite score on Metacritic, and this game's got like an 83. Like, I'm astounded that there's such a large discrepancy between these two games. Despite being reviewed by the same people. Like, has everyone played different versions of these games to me? Like, I don't understand.
I have to admit, like, I did read some of the reviews, because I was going to get this game, but because of my terrible spending habits of importing anime trash, I was like, oh, I'll save that money. Like, I've got enough to play, I'll get around to it at some point. And I was reading one of the reviews, and in the same review, they complained about how it basically felt like every other open world game of this generation, and like two paragraphs down said that it was doing it like perfected everything that open world games had done for this generation, and then they gave it like an 8, and it's like, what, hang on.
Exact criticisms and praises of Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, both of those games had massively said, oh, it's exactly the same as every other open world game, but also better than every other open world game, essentially.
I genuinely believe that this is the best open world game on the PlayStation 4, like from a PlayStation exclusive perspective. Like, it's if I had to compare the open world in this to anything, it would be like Breath of the Wild, sort of big, beautiful world, go fill your boots, do what you want. Like, that's what it's like. I don't think it's like Horizon or Days Gone or anything like that, because I mentioned this last week. Those games are big for the sake of being big. Like, it's just there's no need for it, whereas like this one, you'll see something in the distance and you'll be like, yeah, I'm gonna go have a look at that. Like, it's because the game marks things stylistically rather than with just like a question mark and an exclamation point on a map, you're more invested in the world because you're like, oh, there's a bit of smoke over there, I'm gonna go see what's going on. Or you're like, oh, there's like a cute pile of foxes, I'm gonna go follow it and see where they go. And you know, like there's so much happening, like the way it directs you around the world, you're more inclined to enjoy it and just sort of take it in what you're seeing. Obviously, it helps that it's absolutely gorgeous as well, but the fact that you aren't smothered with, here, go here, do this, do that, do this, it makes it so much more enjoyable to sort of go, I'm just going to walk around and like explore this bit of the map tonight. And yeah, it's just, it's incredible.
That's why it's taking you 20 hours. You've seen specs in the distance and then wandering off to have a look.
Look, Ace, don't insult this game. I will cry on the podcast. I'll cry right now if you criticize.
I criticize all Sony first party titles because I don't like them. Yes, I changed my mind about playing them, and like it's
when you like gushing over Spider-Man.
Literally, just admit it.
I have to admit, like, I do really want to play this game, but I'm also, I've kind of gone down the rabbit hole of the Discord around how it basically misrepresents a lot of the stuff that it's doing, and in a weird way, and I won't go into it now because it's like a whole podcast worth of subject, but like, it's kind of ended up being a bit of weird propaganda for imperialism and nationalism of Japanese culture, but also kind of done it completely wrong because it's a Western approach. And I've gone down that rabbit hole of just like reading up on this, and I'm like, do you know what? I'm gonna do loads of reading on this and then play the game because it's, I think, really fascinating. And because I'm a nerd,
I still don't know what this game is about.
It's a samurai. They have a sword. You kill things, I think. Also, you can pet
boxes. There's a ghost. There's a ghost, and he is in the sushi.
Yeah,
that is the game.
Perfect. Nikki, what have you been playing?
Oh, okay, is that it, bro? Is that literally what you played?
Yeah, I've not played anything else. But that's it.
Oh, okay. All right, it's a good thing I have the list of games I've played open. Oh, hey. Azura Lane, I can't stop marrying 2D waifus. No, I'm not sorry. A little bit of Destiny 2, slowly working through things. They actually announced this week that they've delayed the release of the expansion. They've pushed it back from September to November, and at the same time have extended the current season, which is great because to kind of finish off the year, they're doing like a big, because they're taking away some content, they're doing like a big achievement thing, Moments of Triumphs, and there's lots of achievements and rewards you can get for doing everything on the planets that are being removed. But it's a lot of work, so I'm glad they've given us basically like an extra 6 to 8 weeks. I can't exactly count. Sinnoh Alice, I'm still playing this, albeit very not playing. I open it basically. I'm just going to hold my hand up. When I'm in meetings that I don't have to be on webcam, I may or may not just open it and just, you know, auto tap, just kind of have it there. There's the Nier Automata event going on, and I'm kind of having a bit of fun with it. I've kind of hit a bit of a block now. Like, we were talking about this a few weeks ago about how obviously like these gacha games, they give you a lot of stuff for free, and then you get to a point where it's like, ooh, difficulty, and they encourage you to spend money. I've hit that block, but the game isn't encouraging me to spend money, which is kind of a weird moment. So I'm seeing how far I can get with it.
It's reverse psychology. Oh, we don't care if you spend money.
Fine, take my wallet.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if it actually was. If the two puppets came up on the screen and were like, well, there's all this new stuff, but you don't have to spend any money. You know, if you don't spend money, it's good, really, isn't it?
Capitalism is bad. Please take my money. Yokotaro, take my money, please. No, it's all right. I'm enjoying it, but it's... Like, out of everything I'm playing, it's definitely, like, my lowest priority. Whereas, like, every day, Azura Lane, 20 minutes on that to get all my dailies done. Destiny, do a few dailies. Like, Sinnoh Alice is just, if I've literally got nothing to do and I want to have some sort of... I say if I have nothing to do, I've just admitted I open it during work meetings, but... I am paying attention, I swear.
If I want to be distracted.
If I want to distract myself from something that I don't have to fully pay attention to, I will. Next up is Sword Art Online, Alicization Licorice. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. I like pronouncing it wrong. So this is an interesting one because I streamed the sort of first 2 hours about a week or two ago on the Game Grin channel. It's still up in the VODs if you want to check it out. Went in completely blind, audio issues and all, and sort of had played the first 2 hours. And I admitted on stream and have multiple times here that I'm not the biggest Sword Art fan, but I like to try the games because there's a lot of potential, although in the ones I've played before, they keep fucking it up. This one I think I walked away from that stream like, actually, there's some good ideas here, and it could work. It was a bit rough around the edges. Let's see how it goes. And if anyone remembers Death Stranding, anyone who played Death Stranding said to people, it gets good after 10 hours. That was like the joke of Death Stranding, is it gets good after 10 hours. Which is basically when you get to the second area. No spoilers. Sword Art Online is a similar game, except it just keeps going. There isn't really it gets good after X amount of time, because you're just kind of there hoping it's going to get good, and actually it just gets worse. To the point that the game is near unplayable on PlayStation 4. Like, it's horrific. It, outside of the stream, like, as I continued, like, and the game opened, it, like, performance got worse, input lag got worse, everything, just the game gradually got more and more unbearable. And it keeps doing this thing of being like, okay, time for story, 20-minute cutscene. Okay, gameplay. You take, like, 5 steps, and then you get, like, another half an hour of cutscenes. And then it does it again. And you're there, like, I haven't had the option to save in, like, an hour and a half now. This is fucking ridiculous. And that's just in the first 5 hours. And this is meant to be, like, a 60-hour game. But I digress, because you're probably wondering where the review is. The review isn't finished yet, because over the weekend the developers announced that they're fully aware of all the problems, and they're going to release 2 patches. One is coming out at the time of recording within the next 48 hours, and then another one's coming in early August at the time of recording. The first patch supposedly deals with most of my complaints, which is the controls and the performance. So we've decided to wait to see if that patch basically fixes things. And if it does, win. I can kind of up the score a little bit. If it doesn't, well, the review is basically the same as it is. The reason I want to hold out is because I genuinely like what the game is trying to do. It's just completely fallen over, like, at the start. It's like you've turned up to, like, prom, and there's your prom date, and then, like, they see you, they look beautiful, and then they go to wave, and they just, like, ragdoll to the floor and, like, start clipping through the table. Like, that's basically what it is.
That feels like an Oblivion scene.
That happened to me.
What, in real life?
Well, it wasn't a prom, it was a dinner dance, but yeah.
Did you clip for a table, Ace?
No, my date did.
Oh dear. But yeah, so I've done a first impressions. I believe that is live on the site now. So check that out. That kind of basically just reaffirms what I've just said, in that it's a bit shit, but it could be good. And wait for the review next couple of days. The final game I've been playing this week, I decided to pick up Ghost Recon Breakpoint because it was stupidly cheap and I hate myself. This is obviously the most recent game in the Ghost Recon series from Ubisoft, that company that is currently an absolute bastard. So, you know, we spoke about that last week. I'm going to constantly remind people. It's all right of a game. It's speaking of buggy games, it's very buggy. It's extremely buggy. Even like 9 months after launch, it is so buggy. Oh my god. But it's a bit of mindless fun that I've kind of just been running around in whilst listening to podcasts. So, and otherwise, that's kind of it. Basically nothing new. It's just playing games that make me hate games. Why did I do this to myself?
Because you're a gamer. Okay, Velt, what about you?
Yeah, so as per usual, I've been playing Dissidia Final Fantasy Opera Omnia. Nothing much is happening there, just grinding some silly content. So yeah, that's fine. I have downloaded a new gacha game! Woo!
Oh, there we go.
Fucking hell. It's called Tales of Crestoria. It is the latest in the Tales series from Namco Bandai. And it's, I believe, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the series. Because it has the 25th anniversary little stamp all over it. But that's in December, so I don't know why they've released it now.
So everyone can download it ahead of the event in December.
Well, as you say this, but... you had to download the game before you, ahead of the release of the date of the game. It didn't work, basically. So I got a reminder on my phone because I'd put a reminder on it because I was somewhat interested in it because the trailers look really cool. And I assumed it was going to be a full game and not a gacha game because they didn't really say it was going to be. And a little notification came up on my phone saying, Tales of Crystoria, you can download it now. So I downloaded it. And then a message came up and said, can't play Tales of Crystoria right now because we're in permanent maintenance.
Wah, wah.
So why have you released the game if it's in permanent maintenance?
I wondered what was going on because like I pre-registered for it on Google Play and then like it popped up the other day saying you can download it now and I forgot, but then I saw on Twitter on the same day that they were like, oh yeah, it's not actually out yet.
Yeah, it's good. Thankfully it was only a day. They didn't specify the date of when it would be up for play. They didn't say anything about it. They just sort of said, you can't play it yet, sorry. But it was up the next day, and it gave me another little notification saying that it was able to be played now. The game is interesting. It's very interesting. I'll talk about the sort of gacha mechanics of it all. It's kind of standard in that case. You pull for your characters and you got a list of, I guess, Tails characters. All the main protagonists are available from the off, which my friend thought was very strange, considering most games don't do that kind of thing, and they kind of isolate off characters for later events. So that's unusual. But it plays a sort of turn-based single-player game. The weird part about the combat is your damage goes up the more hits you've done on the enemy. And it only lasts per turn. So the ideal way of combat is to do like 30 hits before you do one hit, which is a very strange way of going about things. But I guess you have characters that can do multiple hits and that sort of thing. I don't know. It's interesting. But the story is what's really kind of got me interested. And I can't say this about many mobile games, because I don't think that many mobile games have a particularly good story. Not from what I've experienced anyway. The story, so it's about a guy, obviously. It's a very anime story. So, Nikki, you'll be excited. There's an anime opening. Done by an actual band. I think it's, I can't remember the name of the band, but they are quite popular and I've heard them before. So, you start off, you're a little kid who's called Kanata, who's probably around 15 or 16, you know how anime protagonists are. He's living in a little town with his dad, who runs an orphanage. And he's made friends with one of the girls there. Now, one day, a person attacks a little old woman in a shop, like beats her up and mugs her and steals some stuff from the shop, which is, you know, quite an interesting turn to the story. And he sort of runs away, and apparently someone has seen him do it, so they know who it is. Here's what where it gets interesting. Everyone at birth is given a thing called a network stone. And what you can do is you can broadcast things that you have seen to, I guess, the town or the country or the world. And what happens is if you broadcast your vision of the crime, it then goes to the public. The public then decide whether or not this is a crime that you should be punished for or a crime that you don't deserve to essentially die for. It turns out that the old woman that this man beat up ended up dying. And then the vision came out on screens, and everyone, all these anonymous comments appeared, essentially saying, we need to kill him, we need to get rid of him, he's horrible, I can't believe he killed an old woman, what a disgusting person he is. And then some sort of ghost creature comes, grabs him, and then disappears. So essentially he gets deleted from the world.
Sounds like Black
now,
Mirror.
What I think about this, it does sound a bit like Black Mirror. You're right. Because I think it's kind of a conversation about cancel culture and like broadcasting things on the internet and being attacked by sort of an anonymous mob. That's what I've taken from it, you know? And in this guy's case, it's fair enough. I've only played through chapter one, but something happens in chapter one where our main protagonist gets accused of a crime, and then it goes out and everyone says we should kill him. I can't believe he did that. He's a horrible child. And then
did he send a dick pic?
No, he didn't. I can tell you what that is. I don't know if I mean, it's not, it is spoilers, but it's spoilers for chapter one, so it's probably not that big. It turns out that his father, who owns the orphanage, is selling the children of the orphanage off into either slavery for the boys, prostitution for the women, or as body parts for the people who don't behave themselves, essentially. Now, our main character finds out that his dad's been doing this, and his dad's about to sell off his best friend, who's this girl. So he ends up killing his dad and accidentally setting fire to the entire orphanage.
Accidentally on purpose.
Well, yeah. He sets fire to the orphanage by accident, and he runs because some people have seen him kill his dad, but people don't know that his dad was doing this. So he's running away while the orphanage is on fire and his dad's dead. Someone sees it and goes, hold on, he's just killed his dad and set fire to an orphanage. What a horrible person that he is. Broadcast it out to the world. Everyone obviously has that opinion that, yes, he's a horrible person because he killed his dad and set fire to an orphanage, which you would. And then the cancel ghosts come and get him.
Sorry, that's what I heard, the cancel ghosts.
That's what I'm going to call them. I can't remember their actual names for them. But they're basically the cancel ghosts. Like, that's what I'm seeing that this game is he's getting cancelled for killing his dad and setting fire from an orphanage because he's getting removed. He's not getting killed. They don't come in and kill them. They don't put them in prison. They just remove them altogether. Like, they erase their entire being and just, like, throw them into a black hole or something.
Oh,
he's essentially cancelled.
Where does the gacha of it all come in?
Yeah.
I mean, so you can get characters from previous Tales games. That's literally all the gacha is.
But why? You've explained the plot. You haven't explained what you do in this game.
Oh, no. All I've taken away from this is that this game is a metaphor for what would happen if real life had a permaban.
Yes.
The cancel ghosts come and get you. They're like, oh, no, you can't do that, mate. You can't set fire to an orphanage, and then they pull you into the void of nothingness, which actually sounds like a nice place to be.
The cancel ghosts are only brought to you if the public, if the anonymous public demand it enough.
So it's Twitter.
If they don't demand it enough, you don't.
It's Twitter.
It's literally Twitter. It's literally
Japan, Twitter. You've done it again.
I'm just so confused. I mean, if you want to know what you do in the game, you fight people. It's a story. It's a JRPG, essentially, on your phone. But like, there's also a PvP mode, so I guess that's what the gacha bit's for. But yeah, no, I was playing through this chapter, and I wasn't sure what to think. And everything in my head was just like, this is Twitter. This is a commentary on cancel culture, isn't it? And I wasn't sure if I was going crazy, because a mobile gacha game, I don't know, is it the best place for that kind of discussion? But also, I'm not sure what they're trying to say with it. Because, like, the first guy who got cancelled by the cancel ghosts for killing an old woman, I mean, yeah, fair enough. But, like, the other guy, I mean, are they saying that people get cancelled for the wrong reasons, or that not everybody's as guilty as you think they are? Or
I'm sure development on this didn't start as recently as cancel culture has been kicking off.
You never know. There was a quote, let me just, I actually had a picture of it from one of the main characters, and fuck's sake. And it actually kind of shows what I think about the game. Here it is. So this character called Vicious, he says, nobody knows much about anybody else, and nobody cares to learn. But once they want to see you condemned, they tell themselves they know everything they need to.
Well, fuck.
and by the sound of things, I think that is what the game is about.
Ace, have you got any happy games that you have played? Please, for the love of God.
What do you expect me to play happy games? I don't know.
Was there anything else before I move on to mine?
No. Tales of Crystoria is interesting, though, I'll give it that. And it is quite fun to play. That's what I'll say about it. I'm interested in where the story goes, but it could be weird.
I was just going to quickly say, not to do with the game, but for anyone listening who is curious, I've checked who the artist of the theme song is. I'm going to horribly mispronounce this, but it's Gesso no Kinua Otome. They are a band that do good music.
Yes! That one. Yes.
Okay. Speaking of gacha games, I've been playing a little bit of Romancing Saga Reeve Universe still. I keep forgetting to play it for like 2 or 3 days at a time.
I thought you didn't like it.
I'll play it for a few. No, that was Sino Alice. I didn't really like.
What?
Romancing Saga, I'm all right with. Except for all the different currencies and the free premium currency and the paid premium currency that's exactly
the same.
Yeah,
no, that's what I
currency.
Remember. I remember it being very confusing and strange and it not being okay.
The gacha of it all is a bit weird, but the gameplay is interesting. The way the level ups work, you have to basically they gather experience and then you have to give it to them. I'm probably explaining that badly, but
it's fine. It could be cancel ghosts. I've explained things terribly, so it's fine.
Temtem had a big update just a couple of hours ago, so didn't play much of it, but I'm definitely going to be playing more of it this next week. They've opened up a new island. Played a little bit of No Time, some more that time travel game I was talking about last week. Star Trek Online. I got my Red Angel suit. I haven't tested it out yet because I only got it yesterday and I've not really sunk enough time into the non-ship battle parts of the game. Simpsons Tapped Out. I'm just waiting for the next event to start, whenever that starts. We need to find out if they have a press list that they can add us to, so I at least know when those are coming out, even if we don't report it on GameRate.com. Noita, playing a bit of that. Hard Space Shipbreaker. I've been watching old episodes of The Simpsons recently, and Hard Space Shipbreaker is a good game to do that with.
You see, I'm surprised. You think maybe Simpsons Tapped Out would be a good game to sit there and watch old episodes of The Simpsons with?
No, because Simpsons Tapped Out, there's stuff you have to read, and when I'm reading, I like to pay attention to what I'm reading. So if there's blah 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 going on in my ear, I have to stop that, like music or. Well, not so much music, but podcasts, or if I'm watching something, I have to pause that so I can concentrate on what I'm reading. I don't need to. It's not like I've got crappy focus. It's just I prefer it. So I'm not getting conflicting information. Dauntless, they've extended the hunt pass by another week. It was supposed to update next week. Tomorrow, I think, but now it's I went on earlier today and it says 8 days. It's like, oh well, fine, I won't start getting my new fancy outfits. Far Cry 3, I finished that. I would have checked out both endings, but I didn't realize there were two endings and didn't save anywhere near the end, so I just saw the one ending. There's a knife ending and a boat ending. I got the knife ending.
You got the sexy ending.
Look, I was promised power. I wanted power.
And instead, you got me.
Trust Ubisoft to make a sexy ending to a game.
And like we were saying before the podcast, there were jiggly bits. Anyway. I've written an animated, article about, I've written an article about Far Cry 3, game over Far Cry 3. I like writing an article whenever I finish a game. So expect that in the next week or so on GameGrid.com. And the last game is a brand new one, Super Hot Mind Control Delete.
Ooh.
It's basically, it started life as a DLC for Super Hot, but it's grown into basically a sequel to Super Hot. If you bought Super Hot at any point before Super Hot Mind Control Delete was released, you get Mind Control Delete for free, which is pretty awesome of them. I seem to remember Super Hot having more story focus. This is a collection of maybe 10, maybe 15 levels that you play again and again, except you every couple of levels you get to choose one of two power-ups, such as you can throw harder, or things that you throw explode into bullets that fire outwards. So it's got quite a bit of variety. I've sunk about an hour and a half into that, I think, so far. So very good. Or, as you're supposed to say when you play Super Hot, it's the most innovative game I have ever played.
Super hot.
Speaking of innovative games, Konami have announced that it's 25 years of eFootball PES. Starting life in...
I'm sorry.
You promised me innovative games.
Speaking of innovative games,
I was
Konami
lying.
I can't believe that this is the treatment we get on this podcast.
Started life in 1995 on the PlayStation, and well, I don't know very much about football or PES, so take us away, Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, mate. Fucking,
it's the bit where you talk.
This is my moment.
I'm getting some ice cream. I'll be back later.
It's probably going to be fucking better than PES. No, it's something that I think everyone feels about PES and FIFA as a whole, really. The £40-50 annual fucking buying of games is just, it's ridiculous, because there's no real change every year. And I think it's not free to play, is it? It's like a DLC for the current one they're doing for this year's. And I don't think it's really going to help them. I think PES is, it's not dead. Like, it still sells like a few million copies a year, but compared to what FIFA sells, it may as well be dead.
You see, what do you think's better, PES or FIFA?
Depends, really. PES is a much better game. Like, as a football game, like the actual playing of football, the simulation of the sport of football, Pro Evolution Soccer beats FIFA all over the pitch. Like, it batters it. Unfortunately for Pro Evolution Soccer, literally every other aspect of a video game is completely non-existent. It's the online infrastructure is terrible. The offline game modes, which is what made it famous, have gone completely downhill, and they're irrelevant now. And it's got no, other than the football club Juventus, it has no real major licensing, especially for English clubs, where a lot of their fan base would be. So that alone, people are always going to pick FIFA, because if you can't play as Man United, why would you buy it? Like, you know, people want
Manchester City. What are they called? There's one. It's London United. I know they've got London United.
It's Man City and Man U are called Man Blue and Man Red. The worst thing for me, the worst thing PES ever did was they added the second tier of English football, which meant that Nottingham Forest got put in the game, and we're called Notts Reds, which is really offensive to us. One of our biggest rivals, they're actually called Notts County. So, but yeah, I don't think it's really going to help. It's a cool idea. I think more annual games should do this, but I don't think it's really going to help PES. Unfortunately, I feel like the damage is done. I don't think Konami are ever going to invest in a proper online infrastructure, and I think FIFA has popularized like the Ultimate Team idea to a point where if you don't have a competitor to that, I don't think it matters how much a game is, whether it's free or 50 quid. Like, I don't think it's ever going to do well.
You don't think if it was a free-to-play game, people would pick it up more?
It is free-to-play, I think. I think you can get, like, the... I don't know what they call their
football PES 2020, I think, is mobile.
Is it? They definitely experimented with, like, a free-to-play version. Yeah, they do. It's called PES Lite. See, I think that's just like the online mode, their version of Ultimate Team. You can play that for free, but it's garbage. Like, there's no point playing it. Like, you would buy PES for the offline modes, like the Master League and stuff, but they don't put any effort into that now. So all they've got is a half-assed online infrastructure that no one cares for, and they've half-assed the feature that people wanted. So it's just kind of killed like any kind of fan base they really had.
Although it says on their 25th anniversary page that this year's PES will launch at an affordable anniversary price and come with several bonuses. And they plan to release their next-gen title sometime in mid-2021, as you'd kind of expect them to.
I read a rumor that one of the reasons they might be changing game engine, which I thought was pretty strange, because they're running off the Fox engine at the minute. That Kojima made, and apparently they might be switching over to Unreal.
He made it like half a decade ago as well, to be fair. I imagine it's a bit old for now.
It's a good looking engine though. Like, it's not.
It is.
Like, what do FIFA use the DICE one that they use with Battlefield and stuff? I can't remember what it's called.
Frostbite. Like,
yeah, Frostbite. That's the one. Frostbite, yeah. But I don't get why these companies are taking game engines built for first person shooters and stealthy spec ops games. Like, just make an engine for a football game. Like,
it's because, you know, it's because they have to. It's because that's what they do. It's because they make an engine and they go, right, now we have to make as much money out of that engine as possible. This is what Square Enix did with all of their engines. They make an engine, they have to grind as much money out of that engine as possible,
and then they switch
otherwise
over
they go bankrupt. And then they switch over to Unreal. Exactly.
Classic. Maybe it's a Japanese thing.
Anyway, our next news story goes back to the cancel ghosts.
Cancel ghosts!
A game was announced last week, and very, very quickly, as in a matter of hours, not days later, was quietly put in the bin. Coming from FMV Future and Wales Interactive, a game called Gamer Girl was designed to raise awareness of the toxicity women face online. It was a full motion video game. Those are the ones where it's a actual person they're filming the whole time rather than animating.
Like Night Trap, right?
Yes, like Night Trap. And basically, this trailer came out on the PlayStation YouTube channel, and they announced it. Various websites reported, hey, check out this trailer for this new game that's just been announced. And then people didn't like it, because you play as a moderator who is helping this streamer, this quote-unquote gamer girl, and she asks you for advice during her streams. You tell her what to do. Yes, answer the phone. No, don't answer the phone. Yes, you should go meet that person alone. No, you should go meet that person with your friend.
Right. I've got to be honest with you guys.
Yeah.
Right. They said the game is about like providing what the experience of like moderating a stream is like, what it's like being out there. We've all seen the trailer. What did you actually think it was about when you watched the trailer?
I don't think I'm actually allowed to say. In that, like, legitimately, the vibe that trailer gave off. If you showed me that trailer with no context and no text, like just the clips, I legitimately thought I was watching a shitty, like an advert for a porn. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like,
right, okay.
In the safest way, because honestly, like, I need to give context to this, otherwise it doesn't make sense. I so, right. The context is, I used to write for another site we used to get sent some very dodgy stuff, okay? So there's some weird stuff floating out on the internet. We all know that. This literally reminded me of something that I once got sent a press release for and immediately went, no, that's fucking disgusting. This is literally what it reminded me for. That was, and not being funny, anyone who knows anything, even the bare minimum about streaming, knows that, yeah, mods, like, that's not how a fucking mod works. You don't like fucking control someone's life. It's fucking ridiculous. The whole thing just pisses me off. And I swear they posted the picture. Like, I swear they posted the picture of the team, and it's literally the entire team is a bunch of white dudes.
Yeah, but that's what it looks like, though, doesn't it? It doesn't look like you're controlling the stream. You're controlling the woman, not the stream. Like, that's what it looked like to me. Like, everything she does in her life.
From the trailer, it looks like you would select, like, delete this message because it's harassment.
Like, well, like, I don't mean...
You a question, you do a choice, I guess.
But then, at one point, she literally turns to the camera and says, what do you think, moderator?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think you actually control her, like, physically control her. I mean, like, your character controls what she does. I just think that's weird. Like, why would you make
it is
like
weird
that?
It's very fucking weird.
It's a game that's been made on the pretense of trying to do something good and raise awareness, when it's not. It's just trying to feed some stupid power fantasy that these people have. And sorry, I legitimately think it's a disgusting idea, and it's just been done completely the wrong way, and I hate it, and you can tell that I'm pissed.
I hate that their reasoning for it clearly isn't true, because I don't think there's anything wrong with what reason they gave. Like, if they wanted to try and hit that, it'd have been difficult. It could have been a touchy subject.
Oh, yeah, it's a difficult
there's nothing
subject.
Wrong with trying to hit it, but that's clearly not what it was about. Like, it's just not what it is. Exactly. Why are they on a boat? Like, they wouldn't be on a boat being attacked by people in the dark. Like, that doesn't make any sense if you're just controlling a stream on Twitch.
If they wanted to
make... Yeah, that was weird.
If they wanted to make, like, an FMV murder mystery... Just make an FMV murder mystery. Don't shoehorn in some bollocks about how it's raising awareness for the difficult. Like, and not being funny. You could not have picked a worse fucking time to announce this product.
No.
With everything going on in the industry right now, you picked the worst fucking time. And like, I legitimately hate it. And like, kind of glad that it got shat on, because it deserved to be.
Well, people
think
were.
It's the worst idea. I think it's just done terribly, like you all say. Like, it's not. It's difficult, isn't it? I think, like Rhode said, it's really hard to tackle a subject like that. They've done it in a fucking terrible way.
Yeah, there's a right and a wrong way to tackle something.
There's a right and a wrong way to do it. I think the general, like, the idea of it, the basic idea, I think, is somewhat. Like, you're a moderator of a stream, and that playing from that viewpoint, I think, would be interesting. Not controlling the girl's life in every way possible. I think that's very fucking weird. I think there's a possibility of a game like this. And there is. I saw a tweet after this stuff went out of another studio who said, I bet no one talks about our game, which is a bad thing.
I think the problem as well is that it probably started out as that, like, you just moderate the stream, and then they probably realized that it's probably boring as fuck to just sit there and play a game where you just read abusive messages and delete them. Like, why would you want to do that with your free time? You may as well be a moderator.
So is Papers, Please, to be fair. But Papers, Please works.
Yeah, but
what I thought was, I don't know if funny is the right word, but Wales Interactive publisher. So obviously people are saying, well, why? Did you not work with any women on this? And Wales Interactive basically threw FMV Future, the developer, under the bus. Oh, it's nothing to do with us. FMV wrote it with the...
Yeah, no, FMV Studio is one woman, and I don't know however many men. The woman wrote the entire script. She said that she wrote it while improvising the script. So essentially
She was the actor, wasn't she?
Yes, she's the actor. So what I'm essentially assuming happened is the actress in the game wrote the scenario and acted out the scenario, improvised it in each individual segment that it would go down. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know. We'll probably never know what the entire content of it is. I don't know whether there's a point of a writing in that that is good or not, because all of the things that we saw were pretty horrendous. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's her and another person on the team that sort of wrote it all. I don't know. We'll never know now. But I don't know. It's a weird. It's fucking weird. But it is an interesting idea. It's just a fucking terrible way of doing it.
Well, the right way to do something is sell 70 million units of your game, as PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds has apparently done. That's a segue.
Well done.
That was a good segue.
That's still going is the shocking thing. I put a lot of time.
I thought it had gone.
I thought Fortnite killed it. I genuinely thought Fortnite killed it. Like how? Like I feel like it raced into like tens of millions of copies sold. And then Fortnite came out, and everyone was just like, "Yeah, fuck PUBG."
I think some of that might be because PUBG basically went and threw a hissy fit because of Fortnite. We were here first, and oh well, we're also going to do 100-person battles, and we're also going to. It's like, yeah, okay, you can both exist. Battlefield and Call of Duty can both exist.
There was an actual lawsuit over it because, like, I don't know if it ever went to court, but PUBG, like, basically turned around and, like, hang on a minute, like, you know, we're working with Epic on the engine and stuff, and now Epic have suddenly done this, and they proper accused Epic of, like, stealing their idea and stuff. It was kind of hilarious.
The thing is, though, I get that they're similar, but they're so different at the same time. Like, they're not similar. I've played them both, and I don't think they're... The concept, obviously, is the same. You put 100 people in a match, fight to the death, last one standing wins. But like they both play, look, feel so different, and I wouldn't really say that Epic had stole it. I mean, really, they stole. Well, it's hard to say they stole something from H1Z1 because the same guy who made it, wasn't it? But they took an idea and he made it successful elsewhere. Like it's not an original concept. It's just he had one vision and another company had another vision for it.
That's the point, isn't it? It's not an original concept, so you can't really just sue everyone. It's like, I've created this pen. Everybody else who's created a pen needs to pay me money now.
In fairness, Fortnite is basically stolen stuff, the game, because the dances, the...
that's fair. You also have to think, though, that most of those dances wouldn't be popular if not for Fortnite. But I wouldn't know what half of those stuff were.
The Carlton dance was very popular in the 90s.
Yeah, in the 90s, but now you've got like 12-year-old kids who do it. You would not have known what it was without Fortnite.
I don't know. At the same time, if Fortnite hadn't put flossing in, we wouldn't have been cursed with that monstrosity.
Okay. Oh, God.
I regularly floss at my desk when I'm submitting articles to Gamerun.
Not even typing, you're just flossing.
You write standing.
Yes, sir.
No, I stand up just specifically to floss, and I like floss into a sitting position.
I hate everything you just said.
Yeah, moving on. I don't know where to go from there.
Moving on without a segue, Rocket League have announced that they are going to be free to play as of this summer. They will also be removing the game from sale on Steam. If you own it on Steam, you will still be able to access your and download it, but you will not be able to download the free to play version as someone who has just created a Steam account, for instance.
Is it Epic exclusive, I'm assuming?
Yes, that's right, because they were bought by Epic several months ago, so people have seen this coming a mile away. If you have bought Rocket League on any platform before the launch of the free-to-play version, you'll get legacy items, such as all Rocket League-branded DLC released before free-to-play. Presumably that's also part of free-to-play. Established 20XX as a title that displays the first year you played Rocket League. So for me, that'd be 2015 if I played it on PlayStation. Though they do also, there's some other stuff, but they also mention that it's going to be cross-platform play. So you'll log in with your Epic account to all. To all platforms to play it. So I don't know how that's going to affect anyone who has differing progressions, but doesn't affect me.
I assumed it was already free to play, so I'm kind of a bit like, oh, okay.
It kind of soared into popularity because it was a PlayStation Plus game, wasn't it? Like that's why it sort of boomed.
100%.
Like, I don't think I know anyone who's paid full price for Rocket League. Like, everyone always picks up in a sale or something because I feel like it's all.
I'm sure I do. I think I do know someone who has. No, only one.
Don't unfriend that person.
It was you.
Didn't say they were my friend.
Yeah, fair point.
Okay, well, fun fact: as long as the Green Cast has been deciding the Game Green Game of the Year, Rocket League appeared in 2015, the year of its release. It was Game of the Year. In 2016, it was a old Game of the Year. 2017. It was also
Rocket League Game of the Year.
Old Game of the Year.
In 2015, you gave Rocket League Game of the Year. I'm really shocked by that.
And 2018, it was.
That is quite shocking.
Second old Game of the Year. So last year was the first year it had not won either Game of the Year or Old Game of the Year since we've been doing the Game of the Year, which is every year since it was released.
That is surprising that it was Game of the Year 2015. Yeah.
I'm fucking really shocked by that. What do you mean?
I mean, it was a sensation. You should go back and listen to the Game of the Year podcast from 2015.
I think I might do that. I'm really intrigued as to how Kate, because like I'm sure like The Witcher 3 and Bloodborne and Metal Gear Solid 5 and Mario Maker, everything came out that year.
What was its competition?
Like, it was intense competition.
Well, Mario Maker wouldn't have been in the list because Nintendo at the time were not sending us codes, so that wouldn't have. The top five were Rocket League, Undertale, The Witcher 3, Fallout 4, Bloodborne. Oh, Mario Maker was on the list. It was number 7. I apologize.
Fair enough. I'm okay. Sure. I mean, yeah. You know.
Now I'm looking up Game of the Year 2015.
What was your Game of the Year last year?
It is surprising. It's so surprising. Last year?
Yeah. What did you give it to?
That was Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair.
Nice and niche, I see.
Okay, I need to look up when... Oh, there it is. Game of the Year Special. 2016. Damn it! I was about to say, oh no. It was episode 78. No, it was not. It was before that.
I love that this entire podcast has slowly descended into an advert for a much older podcast.
Yeah, go listen to that one. This one's bad. That one's really good. That one will tell you about the best game of the year for 2015. We won't.
Spoilers. It's Rocket League.
It's fucking Rocket League, guys.
That could have been worse.
Okay, it was technically episode 31, but it was, for whatever reason, previous hosts just put it as Game of the Year Special Part 1 and Part 2, and then the next episode was 30, even though the episode before was 29.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to, I've just actually looked at what games came out in 2015, and now I'm even more lost for words.
Exactly.
Quickly. Metal Gear Solid 5, Witcher 3, Bloodborne, Fallout 4, Batman Arkham Knight, Halo. Oh no, fuck Halo 5. Splatoon, Mario Maker, or In the Blind Forest. You also had Dying Light. You had Destiny Taking, Undertale, Just Cause 3, Pillars of Eternity.
Undertale was number 2. I did say this.
It's not number 1, though, is it?
Yeah. Downwell.
Wow.
Yoshi's Woolly World. Come on, like.
Games that were nominated.
Hey, that was amazing. I got a free Woolly Amiibo.
Games that were nominated but kicked off the list were Cities Skylines, Crypt of the Necrodancer, Grow Home, Dying Light, and Splatoon.
What?
Holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
Your 2019 list had Blair Witch on the top 10.
What?
What do you guys do? Right, I'm glad we're here. We're making changes to this.
The takeaway from this is look forward to this year's Game of the Year conversation, where most likely it will be the four of us fighting tooth and nail to get one
next
game
week
moved
on,
one space up
on the green cast.
That's not true. That's not true, because we all know Game of the Year 2020
is Bookstacks.
It's going to be Bookstacks.
Oh, yeah, shit, yeah, it's Bookstacks.
This year's already written. It's fine.
Next year is going to be the one with his fighting.
Next year is going to be a tough one.
No, I can't go speaking of tough because it's not tough. Anyway, our final news post, because we're running low in time, is apparently 1999's Worms Armageddon has received a pretty beefy update, which they're publicizing. And it came out in 1999. It's 21 years old, and they're still updating it, which is quite surprising, but well warranted, because Worms Armageddon was a fantastic game and the pinnacle of the series.
Yeah.
I bought it when it came out, and I remember on the box, because, you know, it was 1999, so Y2K was on the horizon. So the box text kind of bigged up, oh, this is going to be the final Worms game because the world's going to end.
Oh, jeez. That's okay. I don't remember that. And then, yeah, stupid Worms.
Hang on, it didn't end then with Worms Armageddon, but Worms Rumble's coming out soon, and...
Ah, shit.
You know, 2020 being what it is. Yes.
I saw there was going to be a Worms Battle Royale, and I was like, what? I can understand. It kind of makes sense that there would be a Worms Battle Royale. I just hope that it is like Worms, and not like a Battle Royale.
I mean, in fairness, Worms Armageddon lets you take 68 worms into a match, so...
Really?
Yeah, with multiplayer, thanks to this new update. You can check out the trailer on GameGrid.com. It's a very good one.
Yeah, nice. The only thing I really know is that the company who produce Worms are based in Nottingham, and they do...
Yes.
They publish a lot of really cool ideas. Like they do Overcooked and...
Yeah, Team 17. Team 17.
They do a lot of good stuff. They've got access to so many like great series, like great indie series now. I think it's amazing that they're still willing to go back to something like Worms Armageddon and update it and push it back into the limelight again. Because it did make them, didn't it? Like, really, like.
So yeah. Does this mean you're going to stop complaining that Yooka-Laylee won last year Game of the Year? Because Team 17.
I'm not going to not complain about that. In fact, I'm going to push really hard for next week to be a recount of last year's Game of the Year. Like, that's what I want.
A recount?
Well, something that's bugging me about this Worms Armageddon news is that it seems that Worms Armageddon is sometimes listed as Worms 2 Armageddon, but Worms 2 was a different game. It's not available on Steam, despite all the other Worms games being available on Steam. You can get it on GOG, but it doesn't work on anything higher than Windows 7.
Oh, man.
So Worms Armageddon still being updated, but Worms 2 is not.
I don't want to say it's been retconned, because it makes it sound like there's a fucking story.
There is a Worms story.
I'm listening.
How do you think the Elvis worm got to wherever it is that worms live?
Quickly, before we wrap up the episode, I thought an interesting main topic would be, which old game do you want a content update for? Even if you have to wait 21 years for it.
Time Crisis.
Time Crisis?
Not
that is
available. You cannot update a PlayStation...
Why not?
You didn't say there had to be
what
realistic
to
boundaries.
What happened to the PlayStation versions of Worms Armageddon?
Yeah,
he's got you. This is like a podcast mutiny now. Like, Ace has been overthrown.
First it's Game of the Year, now it's Worms Armageddon.
I don't know
what I would want. I actually, looking at my desk now, I have a copy of Mirror's Edge on the desk. And honestly, the things that I really enjoyed about Mirror's Edge were like the time trials and sort of races that you could do in that. So if I were to ask for a content update for any game, it would be give us, if EA just randomly dropped like 50 new race maps in Mirror's Edge, 50 new time trials.
I think it's hard like, as well okay. To say like what you want to update about like those games are quite old. Because like I think like I immediately thought of something like Siphon Filter, and then I was like, I'd just like the whole thing to be like remade in beautiful HD. And but that's not an update at that point, then, is it? It's just a remake of an old
game. It's like at this point we're choosing to not have a remake of a game. We're choosing an old game to be updated, and that's it doesn't really happen. Like this Worms Armageddon thing is really out of nowhere, you know?
I'd like to update Astral Chain to be number one on Gangren's 2019 Game of the Year list.
Red Faction Guerrilla, before the remaster was announced, that was still getting pretty regular updates.
And how old's that game?
That's not 20 years, but it was pretty old.
Oh, I'll tell you one, actually. Homefront, the original Homefront game. What was it? Was it just Homefront on its own? That was really good. Like that, if that got a content update and like got some players back in it, that'd be pretty cool. But I think Dan Buster are too busy shooting themselves in the foot or whatever they do over there.
Well, back in 2015, Postal 2 got a DLC, Paradise Lost, and that was 12 years after Postal 2 had come out.
But didn't they announce a new Postal game not long ago?
Yes, that's currently in early access, Postal 4, even though they themselves say, what is Postal 3? We've never heard of it.
I thought there was a Postal 3, wasn't there?
There is. They are not proud of it.
But isn't the whole point of the Postal game just to be, like, obscenely controversial?
I don't think it was controversial. Yes. I think it was just badly made.
That's the controversy.
I'm looking at the trailer of this, and there's a guy just unleashing pigeons at people. Like, what's going on?
Is this Worms now, or is this something else?
It's that parrot on Nikki's windowsill. That's what it is.
And with that we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Rhodes, Nikki, and Velt. Thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing with us via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed, or a random podcasting website that you've managed to find us on. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGrid.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.